Thank you. He's alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today on this Easter morning. Thank you for being a part of our service here. I know there's a lot of places you could have went, but thank you for choosing Mount Vernon. Take your Bibles. Be turning to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be preaching a unique Easter message, probably nothing you've ever heard before, but that's okay. It's what God's laid on my heart. I've been going through a series called Restoring My Joy. This kind of fell right into place with it, and so I was going to go around it and preach a traditional Christmas message or an Easter message, but God changed my mind, and I come to this. So the title is Easter is Forever. Easter is forever. I want you to know that we celebrate Easter every week. Amen. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. That's when we have church on Sunday now. If you remember in the Old Testament that the Jews, they had their Sabbath on the Saturday. And you say, well, when did that change? Well, it changed when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Amen. So now we have church on Sunday, and that's why we do it. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, what I'm going to be preaching, I'm going to be preaching on materialism. The reason it is because that is our God today. In America, our God is materialism. It's going to talk about money, going to talk about different things, but it's anything you put before God is an idol. And that's what become American idol is this. Our idol is materialism. We're trying to get, and it's all, we're spending our lives, spending our time, spending the things that we have to have the things of this world. So look here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and rust and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. It says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the key there. Then it goes on in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body, and your eye are if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24 is familiar. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, on this special day we call Easter. But God, we celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection of you every day, and it should be every day, God, because the gospel is the only reason that any of us have a hope to get past this world and spend eternity with you, Lord, and we thank you for that. So God, we thank you for you that you are risen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And God, all that focus is on you. And so God, this is about you, not about us. God, we're here to worship you, not each other. And so God, this is services for you. And God, we want to please you here. And so God, we pray that we lift you up, God, and you have a smile on your face when we leave here, that we truly have worshiped you here today, dear God, and brought honor and glory to you. And that's what we're here to do, Lord. God, we thank you for the privilege of being called Christians. And God, we ask, dear God, if there's someone here today that's not a Christian, God, help them to make that decision today, Lord. God, help them to step across the line, make a choice to truly accept you as Lord and Savior. And God, see what you can do with their lives. And God, we thank you for that privilege. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. So when do most of us think about God and money? Well, I can tell you that is when we need some. Most people don't pray. A lot of people never pray until they have a problem in their life. And so it's one of those, oh, me, God, oh, me prayers. And a lot of people talk about, people that are not even Christians talk about God a lot of times more than we do. It's because that's when they focus on God, is when they have a problem. And so why would I bring something here? Well, one of the reasons, I'm going to give you an excuse, some of you folks that don't come to church a lot, you say, well, all they do is preach about money. Well, today you're going to have a good example of that, okay? And we're going to preach about wealth today, okay? Talk about money, okay? So we don't preach on it enough, I guess you would say, because the Bible talks a lot about money. Now, why would the Bible talk about money so much? Well, because that's where our focus is at. And like I said before, in this world we're living in today, our focus is on material things. I mean, I don't figure most of you go and you have a Buddha sitting on your shelf at home, or you have some kind of a star or something. I mean, I don't think you're probably bowing down to anything like that. But what we bow down to is our homes and our cars and our toys and all the things we have. That's what we bow down to. And how do we know that? Because that's what we give the most time to. That's what we give our talents to. That's what we give our treasures to. That's where our money goes, is to buy these things that we think somehow or another are going to bring us joy. It's going to bring us happiness. It's going to bring us peace in life. Well, they will disappoint you, okay? Short term, sometimes it does, okay? But in the long term, they will disappoint you. That's why you try to buy something new and improved and bigger and better, because you think that it's going to satisfy you. And like I said, it will for a season, but then it casts off and Then they try to sell you something even bigger and better. And that's what makes our world go around, I guess you say, the materialistic world that we're living in today. But what we have to understand is, many people believe that when you talk about God and money, that's a private thing. You know, we'll talk about God, that's okay, but don't mix the two because that's a private thing. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about money a lot because it knows a lot of people that's where their heart's at, and that's where we're aiming at today. But God has a lot to say about money. And why is that? It has a lot to say about money because it's where we invest our lives at. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 30 in verses 7 through 9. It says this. It says, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, I don't want too much, I want too little. I just need enough. And why does he say that in verse 9? "Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." And so Solomon, what he's talking about here and what he's talking about a balanced life. And so balance is the key when it comes to materialism, when it comes to God. It's a balance there that we're to honor God with our wealth. Listen, everything you have is God's. You're a steward. You're not an owner. This is his world. This is everything we have here is his. And here he's left us here to be stewards of it. Okay, and so we need to realize that the minute you think that you're the owner of something, then you think you can do with it what you want to. But that's not the truth. We're stewards and it's God's. And he's given it to us to allow us to use it for his glory and his honor. Now, does he want us to enjoy ourselves? Sure he does. Sure he does. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. I'm not saying it. Nothing wrong with being wealthy. Nothing wrong with that. But it's according to how you use that wealth and what you do with that wealth and what you think about that wealth that brings the problems along. It's not the wealth itself. It's what we do with it and how we think about it. So our view on our money and time gives us an open view of our hearts. It shows us who we are and what our focus is, and that's what he's talking about here. But what God does here, he warns us. He warns us that this world is fading away, and a lot of you, and a lot sometimes myself, talk, I'm investing in things that's not going to last. And that's what he goes through here, and he gives us some descriptions, and that's what we're going to follow along with. And what we do is we try to repair it or replace it or patch it up or cover it over our stuff, but it's going away, it's fading away, it's not going to last. And so what happens in life is this: we spend a lot of time on things that are not going to last, you know. I mean, how much time did you spend this week on your heart and your soul in the Bible than you did on getting ready every day and putting on your clothes and looking in the mirror or taking care of your home or taking care of your house? I mean, this is the spring of the year, and so you drive by Lowe's and, man, you see a parking lot full of folks because why? They're redoing. This is a time of starting over after the winter. And it's a great time, and I enjoy those kind of things, but it shouldn't be our focus. So God's given us some signs to remind us some things that this world's passing away, because a lot of times people begin to make this their heaven. You know, they think that this is heaven. They think they're going to live here forever. We kind of, you know, get caught up into that. And this is not our heaven. This is not our home. This world's passing away. And we need to realize that when we die, we don't leave home. We go home. Amen? Because this is not it. This is not it. This is a cursed world that we're living in. And what the curse has done, it's made things decay. And we see it all around us. And that's what he's talking about here. It's what Jesus is talking about. So what's the signs of decay? Well, he tells us here. He gives us a few. First of all, he says moths. Now, what is a moth? A moth is just a winged creature. And what did it do? To take away something from you. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Now, what he's saying here is greed can steal our hearts and our minds and our souls. Greed enslaves us, okay? And it always costs us something that's really more valuable than it is. And so a lot of people, that's what they're holding and investing their life is. It's just in the things of this world and what they can have. But it's not going to last. And he gives us some example here. And the first thing is moths. God gives us a little winged bug to remind us that our clothes and curtains won't last very long. Now, I don't know if you've ever had any moths in your house or you've ever had it, but they'll take away something from you. They'll clean out a closet in about a week or two time, okay? And all of a sudden you'll have little holes and bit through those. And those things are there for a reason. So man's solution to moths is what we call mothballs, okay? So we put mothballs in there. Leonard Skinner come up with a song about it. It says, "Ooh, that smell," okay? And I put not really, but anyway, I'll throw that in anyway. But it's, then you smell like mothballs, okay? So then everybody knows you've got moths in your house, okay? But that's what it is. It deteriorates things. And so if you have moths, if you've ever had moths in your closet, you realize that it can damage. It can take away. And so God's given us all kind of bugs to get rid of stuff that's not going to last. He gives us worms and flies and ants and maggots, and they eat away at what we work for. and they'll just take it away. They'll learn something very quickly. And so we bring in exterminators, and we spray, and we do all kind of things to try to keep these things from coming in what we think are valuable, okay? And so God does that. And where moths, they destroy our clothes, then he goes on to rust. We all know about rust there in verse 19 again. Rust gets our cars and our tools and our toys, don't it? It takes those things away, and it's just an example of how it's fading those things away. And so, have you ever painted anything and went back a day or two later and rusted again? You know, it's hard to stop it, isn't it? Because it's deteriorating. Well, let me give you a secret. Prime it. Use primer first, okay? I learned that after a while. Prime it, then paint it. It'll help a long time. But still, it's going to rust away. It's called decay, and it's called destroying. It's rusting away. Some of those valuable things we put our money in rust away. They go away, and they're not lasting. Now, what some folks do, I won't call any names, they let it rust, and they put out in their front yard and put a sign on it, say, calling it an antique, and try to sell it for more. Amen? That's what some people do. And so some people think rusty things are antiques, and I can get more money from it. And some people will pay for it, okay? Not me, but some people will. But rust does what? Rust makes sure that we don't put up our paintbrushes, because it's deteriorating and it's going away. Listen to what James 4, verses 13 through 14 says. That's the way he says. He says, now listen, you who are saying, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Nothing wrong with that, but listen, he goes on. He says, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, do we? Then he goes on, he says, what is life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And so what he's saying here is life is too valuable to waste it for the wrong things. So life is to be invested, and it's to be invested in kingdom things. It's to be invested in the heavenly things of this world. And so the question we're asking today on this Easter is, what are you investing your life in? Well, I can tell you how. I tell our church this all the time. Look at where you spend your time, look at where you spend your money, and look at where you spend your talents at. And your talents are the things that you can do. I mean, what do you do? What do you do with your life? You know, where is your focus? He goes in here. Listen to what he says here. Look what he says here again up in Matthew chapter 6. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he goes on in verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about, what are we focused on? What is your life focused on? Is it focused on this life, this world, or is it focused on the world to come? And he's trying to say here, he says, our lives are out of focus, that does what? It moves us in the wrong direction. It makes us think that somehow or another we can get something out of life it's not ever promised to give us, and that's eternity. And so when we're focused, you need to realize you can't look in two directions. And that's why he comes along here and he follows it up here. You can't serve two masters. You can't be devoted to two things totally at one time. And so usually we follow the things of this world. And so the question today is who is my Lord? Who is my God? Who is in the center of my life? Well, you look at where you spend your time, you look at where you spend your money, and you look at where you spend your talents. That tells you who's in the center of your life. And we come along here at Easter, and it refocuses us on to making sure that we understand how important Jesus is. And he's to be the center of our lives. God's to be the center. And if he's not, then you have an idol there. And what I'm saying today, the reason I'm preaching it out of this text today is I'm looking at America, and what I'm seeing today is materialism is our God. Our stuff is our God, okay? And that's what we value. That's what we spend our time on. And now, and what we do, we applaud men for that, see? Oh, you're working overtime. Oh, you're moving way away to make more money and get more things. And so somehow or another, we think that's wise and we think that's better, okay? And that's not necessarily true. Do what God's called you to do, and you'll find more satisfaction in your life than anything else, amen? See, God's made you. He's got a reason for you to be here. And when we serve him with our lives, and that does what? It brings us a sense of satisfaction. It gives us a sense of success in our lives. And we need to realize that. Because why? Because life is short, and that's what James here is telling us. And rust does what? It shows us how short it is. Moths destroy our clothes and our curtains. Rust takes away our tools, our toys, and our cars, and it's going away. And then he talks about mildew. Moths do what? Moths get our clothes, rust get our cars and our toys, and mildew get our homes. It doesn't matter if you live in a $1,000 house or you live in a $1 million house. I can assure you, if you go very long, if you walk on the north side of your house, you're going to see something green there, okay? And what that is, that's what we call mildew, okay? And if you leave it there very long, it ain't going to be a good thing, okay? Now, what you need to realize is as long as there's wood and long as there's water, there's always going to be rot. And so the things that you're investing a lot of money in, what they're doing is rotting away. Because why? It's not going to last. And that's why Lowe's is crowded today, okay? Because people over here got some folks, some things that are rotting away. And you need to realize that those things we're investing in. And so homes that do what? Homes rot away. Our homes are rotting away. As long as there's wood and water, things will rot away. And I won't even talk about termites and all the other things because it's kind of sensitive to some folks here. But termites take us out too, okay? And so we need to realize the whole focus of this, the first thing is what Jesus is saying here is, listen, when you focus on the things of this world, you need to realize it's not lasting. And so you need to be investing your life in things that are going to last. And what are there? There's two things in this world that's going to last. Don't forget this. Two things in this world that's going to last. God's Word and people. God's Word's going to last. Amen? I don't care what man tries to do with it. God's Word is going to prevail. Amen? It's going to last. And the second thing is people. And so I've chosen, and other people have chosen to do what? What do I invest my life in? I invest my life in God's Word and getting it out, and I invest my life in people, trying to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why? Because what you do with Jesus determines where you spend eternity, you know. It determines what? Listen, you need to realize it doesn't matter the cost of your casket, because the casket has nothing to do with the value of your life. It doesn't matter about that, see. And we need to realize when that day comes, and it's not going to come for all of us unless the Lord comes back, that we're going to die one day. And what we've done with Jesus Christ determines where we spend eternity, either heaven or hell. Yes, I said the word hell because people are still going there, okay? The majority of people are, and people don't like to talk about it. They don't like to think about it. But we need to think about it because it's sobering. It reminds us that this world's passing away, and the things that we invest in so much are not going to last. And so a day is a day of evaluation, and where am I investing my life? Well, here we get in. Let's get into a little bit more sensitive subject. We talked about our stuff. Now let's move to ourselves. The number four thing is this. It's wrinkles. Wrinkles is what we're talking about. Look at what listen to what he says in Job 14, verses 1 through 2. He says, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Can we say amen to that? Amen? Full of trouble. That's what this world is, okay? Then it goes on. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. So some of you, what you have to realize is you're wilting away. You're drying up, okay? And that's what life does to it. Dries us up. And that's what happens. And so what happens is we're going to move past our stuff and we're going to get into ourselves. And some of you folks are just drying up, okay? I mean, you're just drying away. It's something that happens. We have baggy eyes and false teeth and hearing aids and support hoses and all those things. And here's some sayings of old folks, okay? I'm not one of them, but I hear them talk about it, okay? It says, getting old is when you become like furniture and your chest drops to your drawers, okay? You know, or it's when our knees buckle and our pants won't anymore, okay? Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I won't say it's me, but some of you do, okay? But it's just it. And so our cure, what is our cure? Our cure is makeup. Yeah, our makeup. You know, makeup and makeovers, okay? Some people preach makeup is a sin. I think for some folks it's a sin not to wear it, okay? I call it Bondo. And so you kind of bondoing over a thing. But you need to realize is you're just going to have to keep putting it on thicker and thicker. Okay? It's just going to get deeper and deeper because the cradles, the cracks are going to keep coming. Okay? And that's kind of it is. And what is this showing? We're deteriorating. Our body is. And so we do all kinds of things to stop the deterioration of our body. But listen, this is not who we are. This is a shell. You know, the Bible calls this is a tent. And it's going to be folded up one day and cast aside. But who we are is on the inside. Our soul and spirit's what's going to last, and that's who you really are. And so we spend a lot of time trying to fix ourselves up. I've got all kind of compliments about my Billy Joel outfit today, okay? I thought about wearing dark glasses and playing the piano, but I didn't, okay? For some of you, you would know it's, hey, Johnny Cash, okay? Now you see the black, okay? But again, we try to dress ourselves up because we want to have an image and we want to impress people and things like that. But this is not who we really are. This is not who we are. And most of you are afraid to let people know who you really are. You know that you can be lonely and sit in a group this size? Did you know that? You can be lonely, you know, because you don't want to let people in. But what we have to understand is who we are is on the inside, and what's going to last is our soul and spirit. That's what's going to last. And when we die, we either go to heaven or hell, and all that's based on what we do with Jesus Christ. I say that's pretty important, wouldn't you? I say it's very important. It's eternal. That's why I titled this message, Easter is Forever. Because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to live with Him forever. And that means something, and that's important. And we need to realize that. And we need to be investing our lives, church, in that. Telling other people about Jesus. And telling them what He's done in our life and what He's willing to do in their lives. And so we can make up and we can make over and we can only do it so much. But let me tell you what, we're still deteriorating. You're still going down. If the Lord tarries, someone's going to be preaching your funeral one day, okay? And that's just how life is, and we need to realize that. And as I, you know, I preached a funeral yesterday, and as I preach funerals, the church, as I've been here so long, they realize it kind of gives me a little more ump. It kind of gives me a little bit, because it makes me realize the importance of life. A funeral does that. Why do we have a funeral? Because we're celebrating a life, or we're mourning a death, but it makes us understand what the importance of life, and what's important in life. This is what I preached yesterday. The things that's most important is our relationship with God and our relationship with the people God puts around us. You look at the people that God's put around you today. That's what's important in your life. Your family's important to you. And what happens is we go through life and we start investing in the things of this world. What happens, the most important thing in life gets pushed to the side. Who do we usually discard the most, or not think about the most, or neglect the most? It's the people that loves us the most, okay? I mean, those are the people we ought to be focused on, but we lose focus and we start focusing on things rather than what's value. And what's valuable is our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. That's what's valuable. You go through someone that's went through a tragedy. That's why I preach it so much at a funeral. People are thinking about important things. It's getting past this trivial things of the world. It's making us think about important things. And what's important to you at a time of a funeral? It's that person. It's that family member. It's that situation. And you miss that person, and we should, and it leaves a void in our lives. But listen, don't wait for someone to die before you realize how valuable you are. Amen? You're losing so much in life when you don't realize the people around you and how valuable they are to you and how much they mean to us. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that with my life, and I don't want us to do it in any of our lives in the church. Well, I don't want us to do that. And so that's what happens. So it moves us on. It moves us on past the wrinkles. And the last thing is this, is what reminds us that we're decaying, is what I just mentioned. It's just funerals. It's funerals. We go to a funeral. And I didn't know, when I prepared this sermon here a few weeks ago, I didn't know that I was going to be preaching a funeral the day before I preached this. But funerals do something to me. I mean, I didn't even know the young man that I preached his funeral at yesterday. But funerals do something to me, because why? I see the pain and I see the hurt in that family's face. I see the sense of loneliness and the sense of loss that a funeral brings. And all I can do is somewhat comfort them. And the only way that I can comfort them through the Word of God. And so, do you believe in the Word of God today? You know, if you don't, then where's your hope? You know, where's your joy at? The Word of God brings those things. It's because, listen, our Bible talks as much about dying as it does about living. Amen? Because you're going to spend more time in eternity and not in this world than any other. That's why it talks about it so much. And so what Jesus is doing here, he's warning us, is don't invest the things of your life in things that are not going to last. And what's not going to last? This world. There's two things. Remember, there's two things. The Word of God and people are going to last, and everything else is going to be cast away, and you need to realize that. And I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying nothing like that. I'm just saying watch where you're investing your life and what really you're giving meaning to in life. Listen to what he does. I love Solomon. Solomon is said to be the wisest man, the richest man that ever lived, is what the Bible says, okay? And then here he comes. He writes these two books, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and he's writing them here, and he's telling us he's getting down to the end of his years, and he's made some major mistakes, okay? I mean, Solomon, we could go into a lot of things that Solomon did wrong, okay? Even a wise man can do stupid things sometimes. Listen, you can take a lifetime building your reputation and lose every bit of it in 5 minutes. Amen? What you say, especially now that we've got Facebook and everything else, okay? I mean, you can lose your reputation very quickly, okay? But what you say and what you do. And so Solomon's made some mistakes, and here he is, and God gives him this time to write these things out to warn us not to make the same mistakes. And what does he say here in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 20? He says this. He says, all go to the same place. All come from dust, and all return to dust afterwards. So what's he saying here is we're all going to the same place. We're going to be dirt. You know, the Bible says we were made out of dirt, and we're going back to the dirt, okay? And it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or you're living on food stamps. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to be dirt one day. And that's what comes down. So we're all going to the same place. We're all going somewhere in life. See, the lie of the world is the world's going back. It is circling around. And you're just going around and around and around. And you're going to get another chance. And you're going to get another. That's not how it is, okay? That's New Ageism, and that's not true. What it is, are we're going somewhere in life. You're going somewhere in life. And where you're going, I can tell you what it tells us. Because, see, we have the end of the book. It's called the Book of Revelations. You're either going to heaven or hell. And that's where you're going to go. And what you do with your life with Jesus Christ determines what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And I'd say that's important. And that's what it is. And that's what a funeral brings us to. And so what we have to understand is at a funeral, we don't only dry up, we also blow away one day. And death is the great equalizer. And remember, I like to say that. I said this before. The price of your casket has nothing to do with the value of your life. The price of your casket has nothing to do with the value of your life. Listen, I read this a few weeks ago, and I'd read this before, and it's some good preaching stuff, but I think it's true. The question to ask about death is this: am I leaving a hole, or am I just filling one? Think about that. I read that a few weeks ago. It's one of those things you push back and just think about it for a while. When I die, am I leaving a hole? Are people going to miss me? Is there going to be some things that can't be done because I'm not there anymore? Or am I just filling one? They're just going to throw me in the ground and walk off, and nobody ever think about it, nobody ever miss me anymore. You know, think about it. Listen, how you live your life determines that. See. And so what you need to realize is what you're leaving in life, you're doing it right now. Oh, you might have an estate and you leave people a lot of money. And listen, they might think about you, have a warm, fuzzy feeling as they're spending your money on things, okay, and going through your money. But listen, all that will fade away also one day. And we need to realize that. And so the price of our casket has nothing to do with the value of our lives. And it's not what we leave here that matters, but it's what we send on ahead that matters. And how do we send those things ahead? Well, let me fill you in on. He says it in Matthew 6 and verse 20. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's only two things that are going to last. It's going to be God's word, and it's going to be people. And so how do we send on things up in heaven is, how do we invest things in heaven? It's when we spend time in God's word and sharing God's word with other people and being a part of other people's lives. And when we're doing that, we're investing in the things of God, and we're investing in the things of heaven. And so we have to look at where we're doing our banking at. Are you doing your banking here? Are you doing your banking in heaven? Are you doing your banking in hell? Because it's going somewhere. And so we have an investment plan, and we have to ask ourselves that. And so it leaves us here. So it makes us understand, where are we storing up things for? Where are we doing? Where are we investing our lives? And what's going to really matter after we're gone? So you need to realize, you know, we're going to be a million years later, you know, we're still going to be alive. Not this carrying case, not this tent, not this body that we're living in, not what we spend so much time on, okay? But our soul and spirit a million years from now is still going to be alive. And what are you going to be, and where are you going to be? Well, it all determines on what you do with Jesus Christ and how we live there. There's going to be rewards, and we don't know about the reward system. We're going to get a bigger mansion, or we're going to get a little closer to the throne. We don't know crowns and all those things that the Bible talks about. But it does talk about there's going to be a reward system in heaven. And so what I'm saying, those things that you do with God's word and you do with other people, what you need to realize, nobody else might not know about it, but God does. And he's the one that matters. He's the one that counts. He's the one, listen, he's the one that's doing the investing for you. He's the one that's storing it all up, you know. And so we need to realize that we're doing banking, we're doing investing. We need to ask ourselves, where is it being stored up at? So don't hold on to this world too tightly. Because why? Because it's rusting, it's rotting, and it's wrinkling away. And we're all on a sinking ship. We're all on a sinking ship, and this world is going down. This world is going down. And we don't want to go down with it. We want to be left with the Lord Jesus Christ in a new heaven and a new earth. In Matthew 16 and verse 23, here's a verse that will get you. Here's a verse that makes you think. It says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about that. That's a sobering verse. Just that one verse out of Scripture. The Bible, a big thick book, the Bible. Just think about that one verse. It's one of those things that makes you stay up at night and think about. Listen to what he says here. Listen to what he says. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world? The whole world. Everything you see here. Yet forfeits. That word forfeit means give up. But it says, but yet gives up his soul. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me tell you what you can give. There's only one thing you can give. You can give it all. Because that's what God requires of you. See, when you get saved, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you're saying is he's the boss. And you're in control of my life, and I'm giving my life up for you. And so the question today is this. You know, Easter is forever. Easter is forever. And your soul and spirit's going to live forever. And where it's going to live determines what you do with Jesus Christ. So what have you done with Jesus Christ with your life? You know, listen, coming to a building, showing up at a church, getting baptized, taking the Lord's Supper, throwing a little money in the offering plate, you know, I mean, singing in the praise team. Listen, you can do all those things and still die and go to hell. You realize that, don't you? You know, there has to be a time in your life where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It has to be. God's already got a plan. There's not two ways to go to heaven. There's only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, well, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And who? No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, there's two payment plans when it comes to death. Two payment plans, okay? Either you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you let Him pay, and that's what He did on the cross. He died for our sins. As Barry was saying this morning in prayer time, His cross was our cross, okay? He died for our sins. He was sinless, so He died for our sins. Or, so you die and you let Him pay for your sins. You accept Jesus and He pays for your sins. Or you die and you spend eternity paying for your sin debt. So there's a payment plan. You've got a payment. And there's only two. You don't get a choice. There's no fence to ride. There's no almost in, almost out. Nothing like that. There's only two payment plans. Either you accept Jesus Christ and you let Him pay for your sin debts, what He did at Calvary, or you live in hell for eternity and you pay for your sin debts. But listen, your sins will be paid for. Amen? Those things you think you got by with and nobody else knows and you think you're big secrets, God knows. God knows. And he says all sin will be accountable, and we need to realize that. We'll stand before God. All of us in this room one day will stand before God and give an account for the things that we've done, the things that we've said, and the things that nobody else even know about, see. But see, the good news is this. The good news is the gospel. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what the good news is. Here's what the best news is. The best news is that God knows everything about you. Everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done, everything you're going to do, God knows all those things, and He still loves us. Amen? So you don't tell everybody that. Say no. So you hide those things. You've got things you cover up. You know, you cover up. You don't want anybody to find out about those things because you're afraid if they do, they won't like you and they'll reject you. And that's our greatest fear also is rejection. We don't want people to reject us. But listen, you have a loving Heavenly Father that knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, and He still loves you. And listen, not only loves you, He still wants you. He wants you into His family. And so God accepts you. He cares about you. He loves you. So the gospel is good news. It's just not about rules and regulations. That's religion. What the gospel is, it's about a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ. And we have a God that loves us. Amen? Now, what separates? You say, well, Brother Nathan, they got all kind of religions. Listen, listen. When you look at all other religions and you compare them to Christianity, this is the one thing you're going to see. What you do is, in all other religions, based on what has been done for you in Christianity. And so all of the religions is telling you how to get to God, where Christianity is telling you how God's came down to you. Amen? So it's not us trying to get to God. What the gospel is that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. And that's why John 3:16 is such a favorite verse, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But see, that promise of God, everlasting life, that promise from God, it's a conditional promise. And what's the condition? Listen to what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever what? Believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, there's a condition in John 3:16. It's a promise, but it's a conditional promise. And what is that condition? It's believe. And what does He mean by that? It means putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? First of all, you admit that you're a sinner. That shouldn't be hard to do. You know, sin is anything we do against God. Anything we do against God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us, again, we're all on the same ship. It's a sinking ship because all of us are sinners. And in and of ourselves, we don't measure up to God's standard to get into heaven. Because why? God requires perfection, and none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect, okay? I'm not perfect. None of us are. So all of us have to admit that we're sinners. And then B is believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. It tells us in Romans 5 in verse 8, it says, God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so listen to what he says here. This is where a lot of people get it confused too, and this is what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to say, you get your life straightened up and come to God, and then I'll save you. But what does it say there in Romans 5:8? It says, but God demonstrated His life for us. God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's not get your life straightened up and come to God. It's come to God and let Him help you straighten your life up. Amen? That's what we need. We need help. We have these things that keep pulling us down. We're living in a sinful world, and it pulls at us, and it pulls us down. We have this flesh nature, and we battle against the devil and the flesh and all these things, and it pulls us down. And we need help. And so God says, I'm here to help you. So it's not get cleaned up and come to God. It's come to God and let Him help you clean up. Amen? That's what we need, okay? So admit that we're a sinner. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for our sins. And the last thing is confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us in one simple verse how to do that. In Romans 10:9, it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be what? Saved. Not maybe be, could be, possibly. It says you will be saved. So what I'm asking you here today is, what world are you living for? Look at where you spend your time. Look at where you spend your money. Look at where you spend your talents, what you do in life. That's what shows you what you're investing in and what world you're living for, okay? And all of us have got to do things to live in this world. We're all guilty of that. We all know that. God understands it. But it's a balance. And we ought to be focusing on what? On the things of heaven. But what I'm asking you today, has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever confessed Him as your Lord and Savior? Now, what does that word Lord mean? The word Lord means He's the boss. It's giving up control. It's turning over your life to God. See, a lot of people want Him as Savior. Oh, I don't want to go to hell, Brother Nath. I've heard about hell. I don't want to go that. So they want Him as Savior. But see, the Bible says you have to take Him as well. You have to take Him as Lord and Savior. And that word Lord means that you turn control of your life over to Him. Let me tell you what. When you turn control over your life to Him, you're in good hands. Amen? You're in good hands. And realize that. So has there ever been a time in your life where you admitted you as a sinner? And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross of your sins, and you confessed Him as your Lord and as your Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've done that? Let me tell you what. Listen, you can come to church, you can do all these things, but listen, that doesn't mean that you're saved. I believe that there's going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people sitting in churches today that when they die, they're going to go to hell because they think that showing up at a building and hear somebody up here hoop and holler for 30 minutes is going to get them somewhere. Listen, I can't get you anywhere. This church can't get you anywhere. That water can't get you anywhere. The only one that can get you anywhere is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the only one. So there has to be a time in your life where you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And maybe today is that day. Maybe today is that day for some of you. Maybe today is that day. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that today, then God gives you an opportunity to do that today. And what he does, He tells us to call out to Him, to cry out to Him. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Listen, God does business with those who mean business, okay? See, you can fake it and phony for us, but God sees you. He sees in your heart. And so if you mean business with God today and you truly want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're saying, God, I'm laying it all out here. I'm laying it all out here, and I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want you to be the Savior of my life. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is you pray this prayer with me. Now, you're praying it to God. You're not praying it to me, okay? So you pray this prayer with me. And you don't have to pray it out loud. You just pray it to God because God hears you. He hears your heart. So you cry out to God today. So you pray this prayer with me. You say, Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins. And I confess Him as my Lord and as my Savior today. God, I turn from my sinful ways, and I turn my life over to You today. And God, I ask You to help me live for You. I love You, and I praise You, dear God. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Amen. You say, Brother Nathan, you mean that I can pray a simple prayer like that and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Yes, you can. How do I know that? That's what the Bible says, and that's what I've done. 30-something years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, I'm a totally different person. Amen? Totally different, but God changed everything about my life. And the Word of God tells us what? That all we have to do is ask Him to save us. Turn our lives over to Him, ask Him to save us. And it says we'll be saved. And what does that mean? It means we're going to spend eternity in a place called heaven. Amen? Going to be a place called heaven, and we stand before the Lord one day, and He's going to say, you know, why should I let you in? And here's the answer. Here's the answer you need to give, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen? That's the only answer you can give. Not because I give the United Way, or because I went to church, or because I did anything else. Listen, the only answer that's going to get you into heaven is one answer, and that's because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen? That's it. That's it, okay? But see, you can tell that to Jesus. You can tell that to Jesus, but see, He looks past your words and He looks into your heart and He makes sure it's true. So is it really true with you today? Is it really true with you today? So let's close this out. Look at what it says here in closing. It says, which life am I living for today? And the lesson to learn today is this life is short, but you will live for eternity. And then the application today is this, where will I be 1,000 years from now? Where will I be 1,000 years from now? You say, well, Brother Nathan, I don't know. Let me tell you what, God already does know. Let me let you on one thing, though. You're going to be somewhere. You're going to be somewhere. Oh, not this body, not this tent we're living in, but your soul and spirit, it's going to be somewhere. 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, see. 1,000,000 years from now, you're still going to be alive. Your soul and spirit's going to be in eternity. And whether it's in heaven or whether it's in hell determines on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'd say that's pretty important. God's going to give us an invitation here today. And this invitation is from God to you, invite you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never done that today, and that's a decision you did today, and you prayed and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to celebrate with you. I've got some things I'd like to give you, some materials to kind of help you grow and be even closer to the Lord. Or maybe here today, myself and Mike are going to be here. Maybe you've got something you want us to pray with you about or pray for you about. Or maybe it's somebody else or something else, you know. Or maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray about something going on in your life today. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life. Some of you might be saved here today, and you know you haven't been living for the Lord, and you're investing your life in the things of this world, even though that you have a relationship with God, and you've kind of just put Him on the back shelf and just kind of living your life the way you want to. And maybe today is the time you want to come back and get right with God today. I don't know what your need is, but if you have a need today, you come, and this invitation is from God to you. You come. Jeff, let's all stand.